Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This year's rain and snow season continues to amaze and for some, annoy. After a glorious, sunny, but chilly weekend here in Northern California, you may have heard on the news or just noticed on your phone's weather app that we are in for another rain and snowmaker this week. Another atmospheric river, yes, another one, is headed our way. And while it's been a blessing for our state's drought needs, the relentless storms have caused problems up and down the state. Case in point, Yosemite. The national park has seen an unreal amount of snow this season, so much so that roads were closed, buildings were snowed in, and essential services cut off or compromised, forcing the park to shut down to visitors. But earlier this month, Yosemite partially reopened. But if you have spring break plans or just were thinking of visiting Yosemite, an update is needed, especially with another storm headed our way. Yosemite Park Ranger Scott Gedeman is a 32-year veteran of the National Park Service, the last 20 years of which at Yosemite. Good morning.
Good morning, Vicky. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. Okay, Ranger Gedeman, what are the conditions currently at Yosemite?
Well, it's absolutely beautiful. Here in Yosemite Valley, we've got blue skies. The roads are in good shape. But as you mentioned, there's still a lot of snow. We've been able to clear a lot of the walkways. But for example, Curry Village, we haven't been able to reopen it. We've still got some areas closed. And we're literally still assessing some of the impacts from the last several atmospheric rivers.
Yeah, with another one coming very shortly. So take us back to February when Yosemite closed on the 25th. I mean, we saw those photos on Twitter. I mean, some locations had up to 15 feet of snow. Have most places been able to dig out or are crews kind of still behind because of the continuous numbers of storms that we've been having?
Well, the short answer is all of the above. You know, going back, we had the atmospheric rivers, as people remember, back in January, and then the huge storms. Those huge storms basically forced us to close the park. We had everything from rock falls, debris flows, rock slides, damage to roadways, all kinds of impacts. And so when it got to the point where we just had to close the roads, that rocks were on roads, ice, it wasn't safe for people. So since then, our amazing road crews have been able to clear roads. We've gotten the roads into Yosemite Valley opened, but a lot of places we still can't clear because there's simply too much snow.
Given that you've been the spokesperson for Yosemite National Park for 27 years now, where does the snow season rank in all of the years you've been there?
Well, this is far and away the most snow that I've ever seen. It's interesting that I've been saying that for a little while and hearing some of my colleagues up and down the Sierra say the same thing. Some friends, for example, in Lake Tahoe and Mammoth and down in Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks, which are still closed, by the way, due to storm impacts. So it's definitely been the biggest snowpack I've seen. And in fact, this weekend, April 1st, is the final snow survey of the year. And that will give us the number. So sometime early next week, we'll have a number of exactly how much snow we got.
You brought up Sequoia Kings Canyon. Are you in, you know, regular communication with national parks across California?
We are. It's interesting because when we look at resources, and by resources, I mean people, you know, we were fortunate to have people come here from other parks, from our regional office, the same as Sequoia. You know, as people know, with parks like Yosemite, Sequoia, Kings Canyon, Lassen Volcanic National Park, these incredible national parks that millions of people come to visit. At the same time, it's incredibly challenging to keep these places open and safe. And so, as you mentioned, the snow's been wonderful. That we've needed the snowpack, we've needed the rain, but the impact to the roads, we've had damage to buildings, damage to fences, but thankfully, we've only had one minor injury and some property damage, but not a lot. But our friends down in Sequoia, for example, have roads undermined, have a lot of buildings damaged, and they're going to be closed for a little while longer now.
Yeah, I think front of mind might be that, you know, huge snowpack. But here in Sacramento, we've also really felt and seen the impacts from these systems, mainly from the winds. How has Yosemite fared with extreme winds this season, or has the biggest impact been the snow?
That's a great question. It's again, the answer is all of the above. And what I mean by that is we had the huge snow. And so, for example, some of the tent cabins, for folks know, canvas tent cabins at Curry Village have collapsed simply due to the weight of the snow. And with some of these systems, we have had a fair amount of wind. And so this wind has basically knocked trees down. So we've had tree branches that have gone into roofs. We have had some impacts with trees falling, but nothing major. And so for us, it's a question of both the wind, and also people need to realize that even if there's not a lot of wind, a lot of these tree branches are breaking simply due to the weight of the snow. The snow load is so huge. A lot of these, you know, pine trees, oak trees, things like that are used to having snow, but just the sheer volume and the weight of the snow is causing a lot of these, what we call tree failure or branch failure, where the weight of the snow knocks these branches down. So it creates a safety concern, but at the same time, it's just part of living in Yosemite.
Yeah. I mean, given that you're in an all of the above situation for pretty much the first 3 months of 2023, what are you anticipating, given that we have another atmospheric river coming earlier this week? I believe tomorrow is when it's forecasted.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, again, we've been preparing. It's been interesting because, you know, over the past several weeks, it's been both literally digging out from the last series of storms and prepping for the atmospheric river. And by prepping, I mean, you know, placing sandbags in low-lying areas. You know, in the park, we know, for example, of campgrounds that have a tendency to get a lot of water in some buildings. And so we anticipate the best that we can. So we're both digging out, continuing to repair roads, prepping for the incoming atmospheric river the best that we can. And just our main message to visitors is if you come to the park, just be flexible and be prepared. We're planning to stay open, but at the same time, if we get more rockfalls or debris flows, the park could close at any time. So we're asking people just to be extra prepared. And by extra prepared, we mean everything from chains for your vehicle to shoes with good traction to layers of clothing to extra food, extra water. You know, we always ask people to be prepared, but in this changing weather conditions, it's even more important for people to come to Yosemite or really anywhere in the Sierra to have the preparations done and know that the weather changes quickly around here.
Given that you partially reopened a little over a week ago on March 18th, how has the experience been like for visitors? You touched upon how they should prepare. What should they expect when it comes to what's open and what's not open?
And that's another great question. Visitors are having a lot of fun. We're not seeing huge amounts of visitation because we just reopened. But basically, Yosemite Valley is open. You know, yesterday afternoon, for example, I saw people out with sleds and throwing snowballs. And so for the most part, Yosemite Valley is open and people can get around. But going up toward Crane Flat, of course, the Tuolumne Meadows area is closed, as it always is, and will open in the summer. The Glacier Point Road is closed, but Wawona is open, and most of the areas in Yosemite Valley are open for visitors to see. And I'll add this very quickly, too. One of the bonuses right now is the incredible waterfalls. With this huge snowpack and atmospheric rivers, we're seeing waterfalls, for example, noticing Bridal Veil Fall, Ribbon Fall. A lot of these waterfalls are basically spring conditions. And although we're technically in spring, we're seeing some really high waterfall levels right now. And it's just spectacular to see the huge waterfalls and the snow.
Yeah, the first time I met you was like 6 years ago, and it was due to these wonderful waterfalls in the park, like these ephemeral waterfalls. It was really exquisite to take in, and it is a rare sight. So that's actually promising, especially given Yosemite is attached to these wonderful small towns like Groveland and Mariposa. Do you have a better sense of how this is impacting the local economy?
Well, sure. You know, as you mentioned, so many of these, what we call the gateway communities, Mariposa, Oakhurst, Sonora, a lot of their economy is based upon the park. And so it certainly impacted them with the closure. We were closed for 3 weeks and were able to reopen first Highway 140 and the rest of the park. So a lot of these communities really depend on the tourism. So they were impacted. But now that we're reopened, we've got the waterfalls going. They've been really great. We've been working real closely with them. And clearly, this was a situation that not only were some of the impacts here in the park, but, you know, places like Mariposa and Sonora. Mariposa, for example, had extensive damage. A lot of trees fell during the windstorms. They had some road damage. And so this has really impacted everybody. And so what I've been noticing throughout this whole event, both inside and outside the park, is just how everybody has come together. It's been an incredible community spirit. People are checking on each other. People are having the best attitude. You know, we all keep saying we love the snow and we need it, but we don't need it all right now. But again, everybody's just watching out for each other, and the surrounding communities understand, and they've been great to work with, and we're really looking forward to a great spring and summer.
Finally, Ranger Gettleman, you know, when people plan to come to Yosemite, that can be a year in advance or longer. I mean, you have tourists from all over the world. What, any words of wisdom for someone hoping to make plans later this year from spring break through the summer and fall?
Sure. We're not doing reservations this summer, and so the in-park accommodations and campgrounds are incredibly popular and sell out quickly. And in fact, some of the campgrounds are not open yet because they're under snow. And so there's a lot of great opportunities. And the best advice I give is just plan ahead. You mentioned some of the gateways. There's some great accommodation options in the gateway community surrounding Yosemite. There's wonderful options for camping. For example, we're surrounded on three sides by national forests. There's some BLM land, so there's a lot of opportunities. So my suggestion is to just get creative, be flexible, plan ahead the best that you can, because as always, we're anticipating a busy summer, but we're certainly excited to have the visitors back and see the incredible beauty of Yosemite Valley.
Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And that is Yosemite Park Ranger Scott Gettleman. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.